I'd like to welcome you tonight to the story of Abraham. A lot of you have been in the church a long time, been in Sunday school a long time. Some of you have probably studied Abraham many, many, many times. And yet tonight I want to invite you to enter into a series, into a study of the life of Abraham. Truly, Abraham, perhaps you could say, is the most respected person in the Old Testament. I would say when you look at the Bible and how the world perceives Abraham and others in the Bible, I would probably say that there are more people that are drawn to Abraham than any other person in the Bible except Jesus. His story is an incredible one, and there are a lot of bits and pieces of it about this man that serves a role in the plan of God in an incredible way. I want us to pick up the story of Abram in chapter 11, kind of where we left off from our study in Genesis. And I want us to look over the next quite a few Sunday nights. We'll probably go to the end of the year. And of course, there's Sunday nights where we have other things going on. For example, revival. We have a missionary coming. We're going to have a combined service, a music service that we've done before. So we have some things that will be also happening on Sunday nights. But most Sunday nights, probably two out of three or three out of four of the next 3 or 4 months, I want to invite you to the story of Abraham. And there's so much to be said in looking at Abraham's life and who he was. The end of chapter 11, we kind of left off on Sunday mornings a few weeks ago. And so I want to pick up a little bit in chapter 11 and can then continue into chapter 12. Chapter 12 is when the narrative kind of begins about Abram. Reaching back a few verses into chapter 11, I want to start at verse 27 of chapter 11, and then I want to go through verse 9 of chapter 12. I'm not going to look at all that part of the story of Abram, but I think it's kind of good to read that section and kind of get a little bit of a feel for what happens first in the calling of Abram. And then tonight I want to talk about more an introduction of Abraham and who he was and where he came from and what we know about him. And then next week kind of start into the narrative and into the story and look at some of the specific things that happened to Abraham and why he takes such an incredible place in world history. Not just the history that we care about as Christians, but world history. And we'll talk about that. So if you go to chapter 11, verse 27. I am going to read down to verse 9 of chapter 12. Verse 27 says, "This is the account of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldees in the land of his birth. Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarah, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Ishcah. Now Sarah was barren. She had no children. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and then he died in Haran. The Lord said to Abram," chapter 12, verse 1, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. Verse 27 tells us that this is the account of Terah. The account of Terah. Terah was the father of Abram, and somehow the writer Moses, as he draws together probably from the oral sources and those that have passed down the story of the call of Abram, the great founder of the Jewish faith and the Hebrew people, when Moses puts together this account in the book of Genesis, he begins here with the father of Abraham. God is coming back into the story, and the narrative is about to pick up again of a God who's been distant for a few hundred years. At least we don't know about what God has been doing and saying to people. We know the Tower of Babel about 200 years before Abraham, the story of Noah and the flood 200 years before that, and now we come to the time of Abram, and we find that God is breaking into history again. God is setting his finger down into the land of Ur, the Chaldees, and he calls a man named Terah to move his family to a place called Haran. Terah, we know, is the ninth generation from Noah. So if you're counting generations, you know that Abraham is the tenth generation from the time of Noah. 10 generations between this man that God, before the flood, called to build the ark and all the destructive and the loss of life and the hope of the rainbow and all those things are 10 generations back. Think about in your life and your family back 10 generations. I've gone back as far as I can. I can go back to 7 generations for the Krell name, and then it ends the sources I have. But on the other side, I've gone back more than 10 generations. That for me is about 200 years or so, 220 years, but between Noah and Abraham, they lived longer than. This is about a 400 and 450 year period between the time of the flood and the time that Abraham completes the call that God has put on his life. Again, Abraham was born about 375 years after the flood. That's pretty clear when you add up the years in chapter 9 and 10 and chapter 5 of the narrative of the years. It's pretty clear that he was born 375 years since the flood. And so he would have been alive while Noah was after the flood. It says that Noah lived for 300 years after the flood. So if you do the math and you count that out, Noah was alive when Abraham was. In fact, Noah was alive up until almost the same year when you look at the dates that God called Abraham. Think about that. All the history of Noah before the flood and after the flood and all the things that happened during that time, Noah's alive when God calls, or very close to within a few years of the time that God called Abraham. The story is tied together by the hand of God, the story of God weaving his connection to people, weaving his desire to reestablish a relationship with him through this man named Noah. Noah and Abraham were connected together. By this time of Abraham, the population had spread over the whole earth after the Tower of Babel. Some 200 years or so after the Tower of Babel comes the calling of Abram. 200 years for the people to spread across from the Tower of Babel and in every direction. Chapter 10 tells us. Chapter 10 of Genesis describes the table of nations and where all the descendants of Noah went and what direction they went. And the Shem and Ham and Japheth, and who went south and who went north and who went west. And obviously it's not a full detailed list with all the information. Otherwise it would take volumes of books to contain that. But it gives us a rough picture of the spreading of the nations after the Tower of Babel. By the time we come to Abraham, it's believed that there were people living all over the known earth at that time, and there were many nations and groups of people that were alive. And so we pick up that story of Abraham. God breaks into history, and here at the end of chapter 11, God kind of says, well, it's time again. It's time to try again. It's time to speak to the heart of man. It's time to start that process of bringing man back to the heart of God. And so tonight we begin and we study this series with a man that God chose for this amazing journey, this amazing story. I said a few minutes ago that Abraham was perhaps the most important person in the Old Testament. I think most people would probably say that. As judged by history, as judged by influence, as judged by what people say of Abraham and how he's regarded in the history of the world. I think of important people from the Old Testament. I think of Moses, the lawgiver, and how important he was. how important he is in the Jewish mindset and to Christians and understanding the role of the law of God. You think of King David, so you have the lawgiver. You have David, the kind of the great king, and how he stands for something, and he has endured through the history of the Jewish people as kind of their greatest king. And then you have Elijah the prophet, and he's mentioned in the New Testament, and the spirit of Elijah. You have the lawgiver, you have the kingship, you have the prophet, and all those are important to the Old Testament, that no one is more important than the father of them all, and that would be Abraham. He's regarded as the father of Moses, the father of David, the father of Elijah, the father of the Jewish people. He's called Father Abraham in Jewish theology, and I have a book on the corner of my desk. I pulled it out. I read it a few years ago, but the name of the book is Father Abraham. Truly, Abraham is regarded as the greatest of those that God used and called in the Old Testament time. And then when you think about the effect on world history, not only is Abraham regarded as the greatest person in the Old Testament, but also, you think about it, there are three world religions that follow Abraham. You think about his influence in the history of the world. Abraham is not just the father of the Jewish people. He's the father of the Jewish people. He's the father of Christianity, and he's the father of the Islamic religion. And though different religions focus on and believe different things about Abraham, all three of these faiths hold Abraham as a great, great father and a great figure and someone very important to them. I have had the opportunity, especially when I went to Israel and I went to Jordan for a couple days and I went to Egypt for a day and a half and in the van. And everywhere I went on my trip to Israel, I kind of counted it. I thought of it as a kind of a sabbatical with a purpose. And the purpose, one of the purposes on my trip was to ask people what they believe and engage people from other world views of what they believe about Jesus especially. And so I had the privilege of asking a lot of people what they believe. I had a privilege of meeting a lot of Muslims. All the Muslims I met were nice people. They were basically tourist-type people who were trying to make a living at me being there and others like me. And so I had about 14 hours in a minivan going from Eilat, Israel, down around the South Sinai Peninsula, all the way down and around and up into Egypt and across over to Cairo. Before all the tension there, you could go straight across from Eilat, across the Sinai Peninsula. It took 4 hours to get to Cairo by car, but you can't do that anymore because of all the tension and the warring groups that are in the Sinai Peninsula, which stirred up again, obviously, in the last 2 years. So we had to go all the way down and around, escorted by the military. And all that time, I sat in the van with one other guy, my friend that I met, who was from Brazil. And I had an opportunity to ask our tour guide a lot of questions about his faith. He tried to convert me to Islam. He gave me he gave me a book. He gave me a pamphlet. He told me the four doctrines of the Muslim religion. It's like, this guy was really after me, but he didn't know I was really after him too. And he allowed me to talk and allowed me to tell him what I believed about Jesus. But one of the things I asked him is, would you tell me what Abraham means to you? It was incredible what he said about Abraham, how to him and to the Muslim people and the Muslim faith, Abraham is their most important figure. I mean, he is just about, you might say, the most important person in the Muslim religion, Father Abraham. And so we do share this history and the story of Abraham with a lot of people around the world. Certainly Jewish people who embrace their faith, embrace who Abraham is and the story of Abraham. And even the Muslim people, from what I've read, and obviously I just know a tip of the iceberg, but when you study, when I've read, when I say study, that's too big of a word, but when I've tried to read what they believe about the patriarchs and what happened to Isaac and Ishmael, and that's when the story goes very different from what we believe happened and Jews and Christians believe happened with Abraham's descendants. But if you ask a Muslim person about Abraham, up until the time of Isaac and Ishmael, you have all these stories that really come from the Old Testament. They are our stories. And after that, with Isaac and Ishmael, then the stories differ, and they have different things that they believe about that. But Abraham is seen by these three religions as a chosen man of God, that God blessed and through whom God plans and chose to restore relationship with man. For the Jewish people, Abraham is a path to the law and Moses. To the Christian people, Abraham is a path to Jesus and salvation. And of course, to the Muslim people, they have their Savior. And Abraham is a lineage and a path through Allah, establishing his relationship and his calling with his people. But Abraham, for all three religions, is about God's plan. And for Christians especially, God's plan of salvation comes through Abraham. That's why God chose Abraham. Look at verse 2 of chapter 12. If you still have your Bible open, listen to the first words that God says to Abram that we know of. It could be that God had spoke to Abram before. There's a lot about the story that we don't know, obviously. But what we do know here, this is the first words where God speaks to Abram. And he says to Abram in chapter 12, verse 2, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. What an amazing promise that God made to a man that, as far as we know, have not yet done anything to earn the favor of God. I mean, it could be that Abram's whole life has honored God. That may well be. We don't know it because we don't know the story. But all we know is God makes this promise to this man, Abram, kind of blindly, if you will. Long before Abram has expressed, or we know that he has expressed, a willingness to do what God told him to do. You know, this story reminds us of the sovereignty of God. It reminds us of the predestination of God. It reminds us that God has a plan, and God uses people, and God calls people. God knows your future. God knows what's out there. He knows what potential you have. And for whatever reason, God chose this man, Abram. There are a lot of questions we have about Abram. Why did God choose him? Why was it that this man was picked out of millions of people at the time and becomes this figure through whom God reaches so many blessings? This blessing in chapter 12 is a cornerstone of the connection that God will have with the human race for all of eternity. When you think about it, this promise, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you, and then the end of it, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Think of the last part of the words up there. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. That's quite a promise that God made about Abraham. He said, Abram. He didn't even call him Abraham yet. His name hasn't been changed. Abram hasn't done anything yet that we know of to honor God. Maybe his life has honored God. Probably it has. But there's nothing we know about Abram to this point to say that Abram deserved it. That Abram did a certain thing and God said, wow, you're extraordinary. Your faith and your obedience and your character just jumps out at me. Maybe it was that way, but all we know is God said, you're the man. You're the man, and I make a promise to you. See, at this point, the covenant is one way. The covenant is God pledging himself to Abram and his future. It's really God making a promise to all the peoples of the earth. I mean, think about this. This is God's making a promise to you and to me, to all the peoples throughout the whole earth, for all of time, for all of eternity. See, God is thinking about that way back here in the story. It's not kind of at the end of the disappointment of the prophets and the Jewish people and all the failures. And he says, okay, well, we'll try the last ditch effort. We'll send Jesus. No, with Abraham, God is saying, I know what's going to happen in the future. I know I'm going to send my son. And it begins with Abram. All the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. What a promise that is. First, God says, I will bless you. And then he says to Abram, through you, you will be a blessing to people over all the earth. God makes this incredible promise in verse 2 and 3 to Abram. And he makes all kinds of incredible promises. All throughout the story of Abraham, we have God making these promises and these statements, and we're kind of, wow. Boy, this is incredible. Just like, for example, the not the least of which was that Abraham and Sarah would have a son in their old age. I mean, you think about that, just that part of the story, which we'll come to, but how God makes these statements and these promises that, man, how is this going to happen? All the way along, God has His eye and His hand on this man named Abram, and it's incredible. There are so many things to say about Abram that we could focus on. Let me describe some things about Abram kind of overall. This is more an introduction tonight, and next week we'll look more at the specific part of his life. But the first thing about Abram that I want to say as far as how amazing he was is, first of all, Abraham had to have an amazing faith. I mean faith that took God at His word even before God did it. I mean, there are things that God tells Abraham to do that Abram, in this case, could not have had any concept, I don't think, or understanding of how great God was and who God was. Maybe he did. That's possible. But he had to have an amazing ability to take God at His word. Some of the things that God told Abram to do, it's like, man, that's incredible that Abram would say, okay, I'll just go. Now, I know in the Old Testament, in stories like Abraham, God spoke verbally. And that's important to understand. God sent physical beings, angels, and others to talk to Abram. But whatever it was, Abram had to have an amazing faith that God would do what he said he was going to do. Abram's faith is commended in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. You want to read about the faith chapter and an illustration? Read what the faith chapter says about Abraham. Well, he had an amazing faith. He also took an amazing journey. When you think about all the trips that are a part of the story, and by journey, I mean a physical journey here. But Abraham basically took four journeys, four trips that covered 1,400 miles. Think about that, 3,500 years ago, 4,000 years ago, and somebody traveling that far because the God of heaven said, get up and go. How amazing that must have been, the distance that Abraham, and in a few minutes we're going to look at a map, but the distance that Abraham traveled is amazing. I would think for his time, I mean, I don't know how far people traveled then. I'm speculating 4,000 years ago and how far people traveled, but it was an incredible amount of distance that Abraham traveled in God calling him, initiating, and having him go. And that's just an amazing part of the story. Abraham made a lot of amazing decisions. In fact, many of the things that Abraham did show the amazing willingness for Abraham to be totally obedient to God, even when he didn't understand why. And that's one of the incredible things about Abraham. For example, when God told him to sacrifice his son Isaac. I mean, you know, I'm just kind of left with my jaw dropped open when I read that story. How could this man sacrifice his son on an altar? How could he believe and understand the heart of God enough to do that and have the confidence that he was doing what God called him to do? That is an incredible story. Abraham also had, because of the promise and fulfillment of God, an amazing family line that winds through the rest of the Bible, and the story is incredible. Again, Jews, Muslim, Christians hold very highly in regard the stories of Abraham. Of course, the Muslims have different stories than we do, and it's twisted and changed, but they hold those stories to be an absolute connection to this great man that they see also as their father of the faith. He had an amazing influence. The stories and the relationships that Abraham had with the people around him are another thing. The secular people that he encountered, his leadership, his bravery, his willingness to just put it all on the line and do whatever God called him to do is absolutely amazing. His character is amazing. Yet, all that said about Abraham, he was a man, flesh and bones. He wasn't perfect. In fact, there's some stories about Abraham that we can say, boy, he wasn't perfect at all. Abraham was no God. Abraham was not God. He may be a man called by God, but he was a God that had a lot of weaknesses, and some are very glaring in the story that we read about him. But whoever he was throughout history, God seems to reach down and connect for his purposes to this man named Abram and give him such an amazing life, an amazing journey. I want to talk about the journeys of Abraham for a few minutes tonight. Go on to that next picture if you would, and should be a map of, I don't know if you can see it up there. It certainly looks better there than there, I can tell you that. But this is kind of a picture of where Abraham went according to the book of Genesis and his life. I don't know if you can see the little green dotted line there. Some of you might can see that. Maybe you can't. Right above the head of Abraham, you go up a little bit, you see Euphrates River. I don't know if you can read that. And then the little green dots. Well, the green dots start way down here at the bottom of the picture at a place called Ur, where you have a little pyramid there. And it goes up, kind of angled up to Haran, and then down to Canaan, and then over to Egypt. I don't know if you can see that line or not, but that pretty much traces all the places that Abraham went of significance, and that really represents four specific times in Abraham's life when he made a journey. We know that Abraham lived 175 years. We know that he traveled somewhere around 1400 to 1600 miles to make these journeys that we're talking about here. Abraham begins in verse 28 in Ur of the Chaldeans. First time we hear Abram's name is where he was born. He was born in a place called Ur of the Chaldeans, which is way down in the right-hand picture beneath the city of Babylon. And by that picture of a pyramid, the reason the picture of that pyramid is there, it's not really a pyramid, it's a picture of a ziggurat or a drawing of what's called a ziggurat. I talked about the Tower of Babel, and all over this area have been found, archaeologists have found these pyramid-type towers, and they're called ziggurats. I showed some pictures a few weeks ago of some that have been unearthed. They're just amazing physical structures that were built thousands of years ago. And in this area called Ur of the Chaldeans, which was kind of at the bottom of the Fertile Crescent, where the story of Abraham begins, a little bit southeast of Babylon, Ur of the Chaldeans is a city that's been unearthed by archaeologists. And so it's pretty fairly believed that, yes, this is exactly the area of Ur of the Chaldeans and the ruins that are part of several empires that were there. Ur of the Chaldeans is on the Euphrates River. You've heard that name in other stories, in the story of the Garden of Eden and other stories in Genesis. Well, Abraham was from kind of the southern reaches of the river, the Euphrates River. And some of the things about Ur of the Chaldeans that I have read about, archaeologists have found, is they found a lot of large ziggurats in that area, and also large temples. It was an area of a lot of culture and religion way back thousands of years ago. It seems like it could have been the area of the Tower of Babel as far as what's been uncovered in that area. It has some similarities to the descriptions of what the Tower of Babel was in that area that's there. Well, that's where Abraham was from. It says in the scripture that his grandfather, Nahor, was born there and died there. And sometime after his grandfather died, the scripture tells us that Abraham's father took his family and wanted to go to Canaan. Now, we don't know a lot about why he wanted to go to Canaan and how that fits into the whole story and the whole narrative, but we know that there was something going on in the family of Abraham even before God called Abraham to go to Canaan, and somehow the family had the idea, Abraham's father did, to take his family to the Canaan land. And so the first part of Abraham's journey, we really don't know hardly anything about. All we know is his father took his family, including Abraham, and he took them from Ur of the Chaldeans, and they went north along the Euphrates River. They kind of went almost to the very northern reaches of the Euphrates River to the city of Haran. That's 500 miles from Ur of the Chaldeans. So think of that. Abram's father took Abraham, a young man, and his family, and they traveled 500 miles. Again, that's a long way to go. Why would a person uproot his family and take them 500 miles? There probably, I'm sure there was a good reason, but we don't know what it is. We have maybe some clues about Abraham and his life. We do know that there was a famine going on during this time. During this time in history, There was a famine, and we read about it later after God calls Abraham and he says, go to the land I promise you. When he got there, there was a great famine over the whole region. And so it could have had to do with economic things. It could have been, it was an impoverished area at the time. Of course, we're speculating. It could have had to do with political things going on or war or any number of things. Some people believe also that because the area of Ur, the Chaldeans, has so many of these temples and things that it could be that Abraham and his family did turn their hearts to seek God. And so in this area where they lived, it was such a polytheistic area where all these gods were worshipped and all these temples were that it could have been that his family, Abraham and his father and others, wanted to get away from that, and somehow their heart was drawn out of Ur of the Chaldeans. Maybe God had prompted them, but we really don't know for sure because we don't have that part of the story. What we do know is that they were going to go to Canaan, but when they got to the city of Haran, 500 miles away, they stopped there. And so Abraham, that's the end of Abraham's first journey. We don't know a lot about it, but we know that the first part of his life, the first 75 years of his life, so he goes to the land of Haran. So Abraham lived his first 75 years in Ur of the Chaldeans and then in the city of Haran. It's when he's 75 years old that God speaks to Abraham. I don't know if there's anybody here that's exactly 75 years old, and you might not want to admit it if you are, so I won't put you under any pressure tonight, but think of how far you are from 75 years, you know? Think, how would you feel if God told you when you're 75 years old, I want you to get up and I want you to move 1,400 miles away? Or in this case, Abraham, I want you to get up and listen to what God says to him. I want you to go to the land I will show you. God doesn't even tell Abraham where he wants him to go at this point. He's 75 years old and God says, go to the land I will show you. From Haran. Now, from Haran down to Canaan is about 400 miles or so. Can you imagine if God came to you at the age of 75 and said, I just want you to get up and go. You know, I mean, there may have been more to the story, but think of how that would have seemed to this man named Abraham. Man, I already moved 500 miles. I brought my nephew Lot. I have all my family here. And God, you're calling me to go somewhere. You're not even going to tell me where. Just get up and go. That seems to be what the story says. God said to Abram, get up and go. I want you to go to the land I will show you. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household and go to the land I will show you. Look back at verse 1 and listen to what God said to Abram. Leave your country, your people, and your father's household. I mean, I don't know what was going on in Abraham's family, but it'd just be hard to imagine all of a sudden coming in and talking to your dad and saying, Dad, God just told me to get up and leave everybody behind. I'm supposed to leave you. I'm supposed to move on. This almost sounds prophetic. Luke better never do that to me. I'll tell you that. We like having grandkids real close, you know. But, you know, can you imagine being 75 years old And God saying, okay, just get up and go. I'm not going to tell you where. Just do what I tell you to. And I think that's an amazing part of who Abram is. He had the capacity, the ability just to do what God told him to do. That had to take a lot of faith. And it signals the beginning of an amazing relationship between God and Abraham. I mean, whoever this man Abraham was, and however God revealed himself so long ago, there's an amazing relationship from then on between God and Abraham. Man, I mean, God was God and Abraham was man, but it's almost like, well, I know it's God and man, but it almost seems like it's brother and brother. I mean, it just seems like Abram had this connection and faith and belief, and whatever God said, he just did it like that. Abraham did whatever God called. Abraham had such a deep faith in who God is that he could do amazing things. And that's an amazing part of the story. Abraham had to have incredible faith to get up and leave Haran at 75 years old, to believe God and to believe his voice. He had to believe that this was a divine call, nothing short of the Creator God telling him what to do. Divine direction. I mean, go to the land I'm going to tell you. A divine call, divine promise, divine direction, but an unknown destination. You ever felt like God's leading you, but you don't know where you're going. You really don't know where you're going to come out. You ever felt like there's a decision in your life or something God wants you to do, and you just know you got to step out on faith? You just got to do whatever God is prompting you to do without knowing the final answer, without knowing how the chapter is going to be written. Just imagine how it was for Abraham. He did not know how the chapter was going to be written. All he knew was God said, get up and go, and he was willing to do it. Look at verse 4 in closing tonight, kind of as a place we're going to jump off now and pick up next week. Look at verse 4. It says three words that I want you to get from verse 4. So Abraham left. It's all we know. Maybe there's a lot more to this story than we know. But God said, I want you to go. And so Abraham left quickly, immediately. Abraham did what God called him to do. He, no appearance of an argument or why, wanting to know why God is prompting him, but he just left. And that's an amazing part of the story. So Abraham left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. And so the journey begins of one of the most incredible people in the Bible. The stories about Abraham are incredible. I think if you're like me and you enjoy studying people in the Bible, which I love to do, I just love studying about Noah and thinking about all those stories. And it's the same with Abraham. Amazing conversations he had with God. An amazing picture of how God wants us to relate to him. Also, some pictures of failure and how God still loved him and called to him and used him. A lot of amazing things about Abram and his life. I invite you to read. Begin in this chapter, chapter 12, and read the great stories of Abram. And we'll be looking at them in the weeks ahead. Let's bow our heads tonight and for prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the stories of Abram. Thank you for what you want to teach us. I pray that we would be listening and hear what you want to teach us. Help our hearts and our minds to be drawn to your truth and whatever your Holy Spirit wants to apply to our lives. We call out to you and say, speak, Lord, for your servants listen. I pray that we'd have that kind of spirit and that we would be blessed and enriched by your word and your truth and this amazing story of a man named Abraham, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here tonight. God bless and watch over you.